Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There are all kinds of amazing studies that come out about Pennsylvania. They're everything from, you know, best place to buy a house, Pittsburgh, you know, best place to go on a date. It goes on and on and on. But listen to this. The number of children living in high poverty neighborhoods in Pennsylvania has been growing. According to a survey, we are ninth in education, evaluating for early education, reading, and math scores, 12th in health, based on how many kids lack health insurance, 20th in economic well-being, and the list goes on, and it doesn't bode well for us. Indeed, it's a conversation we need to have. Carrie King is the president and CEO of the Pennsylvania Partnerships for Children. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, I mean, to me, I look at the results of this study, this research, and to me, it's almost alarming of what's happening to kids in lower income brackets in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. So this is the 30th edition of the Kids Count data book, and Pennsylvania Partnerships for Children, we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan child advocacy organization, and we're the state grantee of the NEKC Kids Count project. And essentially what that does is allows us to be able to look at this data and see how children are doing in Pennsylvania and then shape public policy around what the data is telling us. And you're absolutely right. In some areas, we have been making some headway, but I think in a few particular areas, and that really comes down to the concentration of children living in poverty. It's actually worsened by 71% since our first data book release in 1990. It's very troubling for us. And I think if anything reinforces the need for policymakers both in Harrisburg and in Washington, D.C., to really double down on their commitments to children and families in the Commonwealth.
Well, I think what strikes me about this as well is, yes, there is this immediate concern for the 323,000 kids that live in high poverty areas, but this also has implications for our future.
Sure. What we're trying to highlight through the data in the release of the report today is also the need to really focus on the upcoming census that'll be occurring in 2020. And really what we're advocating for there is the data that you see in the data book that we released today is it hinges on securing accurate data at the federal level. And what we found in the 2010 census is that there was a severe undercount of children nationally. Actually, 2.2 million kids across the country were not counted as part of the 2010 census. So we're really trying to ramp up efforts to ensure that every child is counted as part of the 2020 census. And really why we think this is so important for not just child advocates like our organization, but also for policymakers is that the data that you get from the census has a direct equation to the amount of federal support that you get. So whether or not that is health insurance coverage like Medicaid or CHIP, or the amount of support that we receive from the federal government for childcare, it all goes back to how many children and individuals are captured as part of your census count. And falling short of making sure that we have a complete count will really mean fewer federal dollars for Pennsylvania at the end of the day.
Hate to leave money on the table, but directly that could affect health care, that can affect crime prevention, and even funding for everything from pre-K beyond.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's so interesting, too, that we find time and time again the most uncounted, the highest group that is uncounted is young children. And we think that's a mixture of things. Sometimes children can live in complex households. So we, for example, we've been advocating for, we're seeing a lot of grandparents stepping in to raise their grandchildren, oftentimes because of the opioid crisis. And there's just a lack of awareness when you're taking the census if that child should be counted as part of the grandparent's home or not. So some of this is just public awareness and ensuring a complete count, but also really making sure that policymakers in Harrisburg, as we're looking to complete the upcoming state budget, are also ensuring that we have a complete count and are providing financial support at the state level to ensure that happens.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie King, President, CEO of Pennsylvania Partnerships for Children. We're going to do our part. We're going to be talking about that census from now until then. We appreciate you doing your part as well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too.
You're listening to KDKA 1020. You know, earlier today, I talked about O.J. Simpson. I talked about the fact that O.J. Simpson joined Twitter for the first time on Friday. Now, he's been out of prison for a while, and I don't even know if you can have a Twitter account when you're in prison, but I'm guessing his time behind bars is partly why he's so late getting into the Twitter world. Now, he opened his account on Friday. He has millions of followers already. He says he has something to say, but if you look at it, so on Twitter, they have what are called verified accounts. So, for example, for me to be Lynn Hayes Freeland, KDKA, they have to verify that, in fact, it's me and that I work for KDKA before they will let me have that little, it's like a little blue, kind of like a circle with a check mark in it. That means you're verified. That means that Twitter has checked out you are who you say you are and you represent who you say you represent, if that's the case. Now, because OJ just signed up for Twitter on Friday, he hasn't been verified yet. We assume that that's really his account. But even if you Google different people's names, you'll find out that people join Twitter and they use other people's names or give the impression they're somebody else. So we're still waiting for OJ Simpson to be verified. Now, I say all of that. Okay, yes, I am going somewhere with this. Bill Cosby, behind bars, Bill Cosby, the convicted Bill Cosby, has a verified Twitter account. And guess what he posted yesterday? Guess what was posted on his verified Twitter account yesterday? It reads, "Hey, hey, hey, it's America's dad. I know it's late, but to all of the dads, it's an honor to be called a father. So let's make today a renewed oath to fulfilling our purpose, strengthening our families and communities." Now, that is what showed up on Bill Cosby's Twitter account yesterday. Really? You know, I continue to be amazed and at times dismayed at the things that are put on Twitter and the things that people read and pay attention to on Twitter. And it's not just our celebrities. It is often our politicians. It can be all kinds of people. I mean, I'm looking at this verified Bill Cosby account. He has 3.5 million followers. So why are they following him? Did they follow him because they followed him through the trial? Were they following him before it and they just haven't unfollowed him? And I just can't help but wonder, if I did not follow Bill Cosby until this came up on my radar today, but I can only imagine what my reaction would have been had I seen that in my feed yesterday. Bill Cosby from behind bars referring to himself as "It's America's dad." Does he not know what's happened in the last couple years? Or does the person responsible for his Twitter feed not know what happened? He is not America's dad. And Bill Cosby, I got bad news for you. You will never again be America's dad. So, you know, Twitter accounts, they can be entertaining, and then at times they can be infuriating. And when I saw that tweet today, I was infuriated. I was not entertained. So even as we speak, there are about 80 folks from Pittsburgh in Washington, D.C. They are attending something called the Poor People's Campaign Congress. It is a multi-day event looking at addressing many of the issues facing our disenfranchised communities. Communities like the ones we just talked about, where we're seeing great numbers of our kids living in poverty. Today, they're going to meet with presidential hopefuls and put some of the issues before those candidates on the table. The candidates include Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and many more. But there are issues in our area that this organization wants to see addressed. As I said, 80 folks from the Pittsburgh area went this morning, and we're going to talk with one of them who's there on behalf of Just Harvest to find out what are some of the issues and how Washington can respond, should respond, and why they're not. Yeah, it's loaded. That's coming up in our next half hour. Stick around. Don't forget, if you miss it, the podcast is available anytime you want it at kdkaradio.com. Well, we have talked a lot about some of the issues in our area. And, you know, one of the things I said earlier is it's always a challenge because you get all these studies and statistics that say things are great in Pennsylvania, and then you look around and it's like, yeah, not so much. We have a lot of kids living in poverty in our area, and it's a problem. It's a concern. And first of all, we got more than 300,000 kids in the area living in poverty. That's an issue. And, you know, that has a long-term effect because, you know, if kids are living in poverty, they're not getting the right education, they're not getting quality of health, they don't have jobs. That affects the greater community at large. But I digress, because right now we got 80 people from across the state of Pennsylvania are right now attending the Poor People's Campaign Congress. Dawn Marie from Just Harvest is one of those attending. She joins us now. Hi.
Hi, Lynn.
How are you?
Great. Glad to be here in D.C.
Indeed. So tell me what the Poor People's Campaign Congress is all about.
So the Congress is sort of serving as a launch point for the new agenda and moral action budget that the Poor People's Campaign is putting forward right now.
I see. Now, I mentioned when I introduced you that you were from Just Harvest. Tell me what your concerns are, especially as they pertain to our area.
Well, you know, I heard you talking a little bit about poverty right before I came on, but in Allegheny County, 1 in 8 people are in poverty, 1 in 6 children, and that number is higher in the city of Pittsburgh and higher for people of color. And for us, you know, poverty, we work mostly on hunger at Just Harvest, but poverty obviously deeply connects to that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no. What were you going to say?
No, you go ahead. I'll finish. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and we've been discussing a lot here at the Congress this morning, something that Reverend Dr. Barber put forth this morning, which is the idea that budgets are the moral doctrine that we use to show our priorities for the nation. And, you know, for a long time, hunger and poverty have not been a priority.
Indeed. And I think that is so accurate. In fact, we just spoke with Carrie King from Pennsylvania Partnerships for Children, and they just finished a report looking at poverty in children. And I think that it is telling, while, you know, we can be the best city for first-time homebuyers, the best place for dating, the things that really matter, the quality of care for the least of us, don't seem to be a priority.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think the thing is, another thing that's been discussed today and that is a big highlight of the moral action budget is that politicians have always found the resources for what their true priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we always have enough money to go to war, and we don't always have enough money to feed kids, and I'd love to know why.
Indeed. So when we look at hunger in our area, and I will just take that as an example only because in the last segment we looked at healthcare, we looked at education. Is it easy for people to ignore the fact that there are hungry children in particular?
I think it's one of those things that people like to pretend happens in worse places, you know? Mm-hmm. I think people like to think, you know, hunger only happens in neighborhoods. You know, I think a lot of the problem in Pittsburgh is that it's a very segregated city. People don't leave their own neighborhoods for a lot. And I think if you don't live in a neighborhood where children are going hungry and you don't see it, it's easy to imagine that it's not happening.
Okay, that's a good point. So you guys will be there for the next couple of days. Now, today, is it this afternoon you're going to meet with presidential candidates? Is that right?
Yes, that's happening any minute now. 10 of the
20 plus
candidates are here. It's mostly Democratic candidates, although I was told President Trump was invited. but 10 of the 2020 candidates will be here, which I think is only about half of the candidates who have
right.
thrown their hat in.
Yeah, I
so
think there's
far.
20 or 22 right now. But let me just ask you a
like
question.
That.
And, you know, I'm going to acknowledge who I am before I ask this question. But are you surprised that the president's not coming to speak to the Poor People's Campaign Congress?
I'm not particularly surprised.
Okay, we'll leave that right there because I'm not particularly surprised either. Okay, so you have at the end of it's 3 days altogether. At the end of the third day, then what happens next? I mean, I know there's a march on Washington, correct? No, that's next year. That's next year.
Okay. That's happening next year. So everyone through Just Harvest, I'm part of Pennsylvania's organizing committee, and so. Everyone in the state committees will be going back to their states, working on base building, getting education out there to people about what the issues are, hopefully preventing people from being able to ignore that there are hungry kids in the city of Pittsburgh and all across the state and the country, and getting ready to lead into the march and to try to make sure that all of the candidates across the board are listening to the budget priorities of poor people.
Indeed. Well, it's obviously something we're going to be talking about. It will definitely be a part of the 2020 race. Dawn Marie, we thank you for taking the time to join us. Just Harvest.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. She is among 80 people from the state of Pennsylvania who are down in Washington, D.C. right now for the Poor People Campaign Congress.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.